The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
How are you anyway?
I'm really good. I mean, I've just got off the back of a horrendous fever, but I'm happy to be here. Happy to be seeing you. It's challenging, you guys.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Wish we could have done this in person.
I know. I haven't done it with Tiff in person in God knows how long.
No, we haven't. I can't remember the last time. Because Nicola is in Dublin now.
But I've been in Spain all summer, so yeah.
I was about to say, do we all live in like the same area and we're podcasting?
No, I'm in Dublin. She's in Dublin, you're in Fulham.
Nice.
Hey guys, welcome back. Today we have Julius on with us. Julius is best known for being involved in some juicy drama on Made in Chelsea. He's also a singer, songwriter and mindset coach.
Yes, welcome Julius.
Love the intro. Anything else you want to say to build my ego?
I mean, does it need to build?
It's easily built.
It's nice to have you though, thank you.
It's so nice to be here, guys. Honestly, I've listened to a few of these and they're entertaining and fun. And actually, I also bumped into a random...
Oh, God.
No, but I bumped into a random, like, my godmother. My godmother was like, oh, my God, you know Tiff and Nicola? And I was like, yeah, I do, yeah. Actually. They're like, my goddaughter's obsessed with the podcast. So I was like, oh, I'm actually, funnily enough, going on it. So
I need to say this. I was going to say this later, but I love your mom. I watched her on the Mallorca series. She's the cutest woman in the world.
Oh, yeah.
She's stunning. Just the best. Yeah. I'm obsessed. So when I was a bit poorly, she's just had her elbow operated on. So she was unwell at the same time. She's like, perfect time, my darling, to spend time with you. So we've literally spent like 3 days together. More time like with her. Honestly, it was amazing.
But That's so cute.
I was sort of looking after
That's
her.
That's really
kind
cute.
Of wrong with us. So, yeah, she's a good addition.
I love how she was like looking after India and Mallorca. It was really sweet.
Loved it. Loved that.
I was just thinking, because I can't remember everyone's names, and I was like, Tiff, is that not the girl that's his ex?
Yeah.
Look.
No, this is one of these things that has to be ironed out.
Yeah, we want to clear this up, because okay. Obviously from watching the series, I'm sure lots of our listeners have watched the Made in Chelsea Mallorca, and probably everyone's got a lot of questions for you.
Yeah, guys, I watched that back and hated watching it back, because I would have hated me if I watched it as a viewer. And I've never received more hate in my life. I can sit here and PR myself all evening. I'm really good at it. But there's so much you didn't see. Like, I know you guys get this, completely understand
100%.
This, that it is a fraction of your life. It's a tiny little blemish, if you like, of, you know, your whole entire life. And it's sort of like she came out with a vendetta. I ended things with this girl, India, back in February. And I said, are you upset with me? And because I ended it with her, I said, I can't be with you. I'm not in love with you. I don't want to be with you. And I was brutally honest with her. And I said, you're upset with me? She said, I'm not upset with you. You've done the right thing. Thank you for being honest with me. Right? That was the end of that. We didn't speak for 3 months. She comes out and says, you've kept me as your dirty little secret. You gave me the girlfriend experience. And I'm like, no, I didn't. No, we ended things 3 months ago. Sadly, as the edit prevails, there's so much I'm sure I'm not allowed to say, but
go on, say it.
Say it. You know, I can't. You both know I can't say this as well too much. But what I will say is the truth is that she wasn't my ex. She was someone I had a connection with, but not enough to look back and say she was a girlfriend. I never asked her out, and if I asked her out, we would have gone on double dates, Tiff, and I'm sure Nicola as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was frustrating to watch that, and I think the way people watch the show sometimes is hurt girl. Guy hurt girl, so the guy's in the wrong. And don't get me wrong, there are guys who treat women awfully, but I'm not that guy. And I'm watching this thinking, oh my God, she's playing victim here so much, and I'm looking like an awful guy. So I've got to re-end this again. And it looked like I was just stringing along. So yeah, I put my hands up. I shouldn't have laid in bed with her.
Laid, but, let's be honest. You mean laid as in you actually laid each other? You didn't actually lay beside each other?
Is my mum listening to this? Yeah,
I feel like your mum knows.
Yeah, she knows, yeah.
Looking back, is there anything that you're like, I really regret?
Yes, I do. The thing is, I knew that she was in love with me. That's where I went wrong. I knew that she loved me, and we had a few drinks, and then she ended up, it was comforting that I knew her and she knew her well. And then we ended up in bed together. And yes, I know it takes two to tango, but I should have been man enough to realize that that would have hurt her further. I didn't do that. It annoyed me that the whole thing got built up like she was my ex. That was what annoyed me. But really, I should have, that's where I fucked up. I shouldn't have gone back there, but I did.
Yeah. I mean, we all have all done it. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's okay to do. But I mean, we've all been in those positions where we should have done things and we've just kind of pussied out, essentially.
Pussied out.
How are things with you and her now?
I don't speak to her.
You don't?
No, I bumped into her a couple of times on the Fulham Road and she was fine. And then I messaged her a week after being like, hey, you okay? And she was like, I don't want to be pen pal friends. I need some action. And then went into the series and went into me not giving her what, I said I was going to give her and all this, and I said, look, I think there's resentment here. I think we just end this. And then recently I've been seeing her upload TikToks and things being like, the best way to get over an ex is go on TV show with them. And I'm like, you were not my ex. We were never girlfriend or boyfriend.
It's like Ross and Rachel. We were on a break.
Literally. It's such a tricky one though, because I know you weren't technically girlfriend and boyfriend, but I guess from her perspective, like meeting your mom, being like on and off with you for maybe 2 years, she obviously felt more feelings than you did. And I think she just got put in that box of being an ex. I know she wasn't, but she probably just felt really strongly.
Do you know what? I made a mistake and I've learned a lot from this, is you can easily throw out like an insurance of saying there's nothing more here, you know, just so you know. I was actually very honest with her. I said, this is just physical, right? Not emotional. But I kind of knew that she was more emotional. So, but I, in my head, I was like, well, I've told her, so it's fine. I've told her that it's not going to be anything more.
It's like actions and words different.
And and I think by us spending lots of time together, I'm quite, as you guys, and I'm quite emotional guy. So I like scratching the surface more than just having stupid conversations about people. So I think as a result of having conversations, hanging around, like doing lots of things together, I think she would have kind of been hoping maybe will he let his heart open for me? And it just never happened. So.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of girls do think that way. Yeah. I've definitely been one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Many times in my life. No, don't need to say sorry to me. I'm just saying, like, I get it. Sorry to all women.
No, also, I think it's important to put my hands up as well and say I made some cardinal errors. And
that's what your 20s are for, though. Making mistakes.
Exactly. Like, and people make mistakes, so don't beat yourself up about it. And you've apologized, and that's all you can do.
Is India still filming? Is she, like, on this series now?
No.
I mean, that generally is what happens, isn't it?
Are you dating anyone at the moment?
I am.
Oh! Shall we see this in the next series?
Yes, you do.
Oh, nice.
Tiff, you didn't know that.
I'm excited.
Tiff knows.
Yeah, look at Tiff. I thought Tiff was everything. This is news.
What, so she films?
Yeah.
Oh,
she does. And
do we know her?
Yes.
Or would Tiff know
Nicola,
her,
you know her as well.
Both of us?
No, Julius made me...
Oh, I do! Oh my God, I'm such an idiot! Of course I know who you're talking about! No, sorry, I'm such an idiot. You do too, Tiff.
I know.
I love how when I... Are you dating? And I was like, yeah. Well, and when you both went... You both went, ooh.
No, I was like, is he going to be like... So is it official?
Pretty much there. I mean, the other day I introduced her as my girlfriend. Because we basically went to this event with my dad and there were like a load of like 60, 70, 50 year olds. And you can't really be like, oh, I'm seeing her. Or what does that mean? Are you exclusive? Or yeah, we are. But you're not seeing other people, but you're not boyfriend and girlfriend. So I just went, this is my girlfriend. I'm not going to say her name. And then, she was like, oh, and then she obviously said hello to them. And after, I was like, I'm really sorry. I don't know. I got a bit awkward after. And she was like, you should have owned that. And I was like,
I like that.
That's exciting.
So tell us how you guys like met or how you kind of how it all happened.
So we're going to talk about someone no one knows on the podcast.
Not everyone knows.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Well, does everyone know you're dating someone? Because I feel like you've spoken about it on.
We've done a soft launch.
You've done the soft launch.
Have you? Has she been on your Instagram?
I'm going to send you another TikTok, Nicola. There's a very funny video on like soft launch and the.
I've seen it. It's great.
So nice. It's like where you like go on a date and you see someone's like hand, right? When you have dinner.
I so did that with Cameron.
Oh, I sort of completely soft launched her. I think I actually did a hefty launch. So I went to Soho Farmhouse and I actually tagged her and I was like, oh, was that too quick?
No way.
Oh.
But honestly, guys, I've actually like had this bit. It's really interesting because, yeah, okay, in 3 years, I've been so avoidant to anyone. And I would date, and I think I'd give off the wrong impression because it's not like I don't want to be loved, but I didn't want to love. And so I'm giving so much of myself, but not enough to feel. So it happened a few times where I end up dating people and then they not necessarily fall, but they get really invested in me. And then I'm like, oh no, I'm not ready to commit because really I wasn't ready to open up for like that. And then suddenly I meet this person and straight away I'm feeling like, oh, what is that feeling? I haven't felt that feeling for like, I'm suddenly feeling something. I don't know what it is. And then as it progresses, I'm suddenly feeling something more. And I think it is just, yes, the right time, but also the right, I think it's just the right person. I've met this person, I'm besotted, which is so nice, and I haven't had that.
I love to That's hear so this nice. This is amazing.
I almost feel like, yeah, it's nothing, sometimes it's nothing to do with timing, it's all about the person.
Yeah,
like you met her, maybe it wasn't ideal timing, but like she is, and
isn't
right
it
person,
so easy, so. Just to blame yourself. I blame myself for 3 years of why I couldn't feel anything. I would date someone, I'd be like, I once had a piece of paper being like, she's this, she's everything, like about a particular girl. I mean look at India, she's beautiful, she's lovely, she's kind, she's a nice person.
Exactly.
And it's not always a tick boxing game.
Just didn't work. Yeah, that happens though. We've spoken about that in the podcast before. We've dated men that are so gorgeous and lovely, but just wasn't there, the connection wasn't there. Yeah. The fire, the spark,
the pheromones.
I'm leaving that in,
oh,
Julius.
Christ.
Okay. Well, Tiff's written down, what was your favourite and worst moment?
I want to know that, yeah. But it doesn't have to be on camera. It can be like, throughout. How long were you there for? 6 weeks?
6 weeks, yeah.
So your best moment, your worst moment there?
My worst moment was falling out with Digby.
Oh no. Are you really close, like in reality?
He's downstairs right now.
Oh, you live together? Oh. Or he's
no,
just visiting.
No, we don't. He just lives 5 minutes away.
Ah, okay.
And we see each other pretty much every day. I he is just like one of my best friends in the world. And so we genuinely fell out really badly. And we didn't speak for days. There was a bit of like waiting to like have my moment on camera to talk to him, because obviously we wanted it to be every moment to be as genuine as possible with the show. So I had to wait to talk to him like days. That was horrible. They're generally the worst. I know, obviously, I could easily say the stuff with India and having her cry in front of me was horrendous. Being on a table and everyone hounding me for leading this girl on, horrendous. Like, I went through a lot of bad moments, but the worst moment was falling out with Digby. The best moment, being friends with Digby again. No, I'm joking. The best moment was maybe winding Sam Prince up. I really enjoyed that.
It's really funny, you two together.
Oh my God. Cameron messaged you, didn't he, after we watched the argument?
Yeah.
To be fair, you did do well. Yeah, I watched it with Charlie, my husband, and I said, shit, he really nailed him there, didn't he? And he was like, Julius. Yeah. I was like, yeah, he did, didn't he? He did.
And he was so angry. Like, that's why he threw the drink and stormed off, because he was so annoyed.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think throwing a drink is just, it's the last resort when you don't have anything left to say.
Exactly.
But by the way, I agree, if someone's treated you awfully, throw a fucking drink. But like, when that conversation shouldn't have ended with a drink throw, it really shouldn't have started. Like, he just wanted to fight, and he just wanted to have an argument. And I'm just sat there being like, I've had a really tough time, and this guy, I think we're very different people. I was standing there being like, I'm gonna waste 10 minutes, half an hour of my time talking to you when I could actually enjoy the view.
No, you're very good at staying calm, because I feel like his main goal was to like wind you up in that argument, and you were very good at like remaining calm, because it's so easy to let someone like wind you up when they say certain things.
I agree. There's probably one thing, there's only one thing that could really wind me up, and is you treat women badly. That I that's the one thing that could wind me up. He didn't say that. He sort of said that actually, but it also, he just wanted to low blow. He's going, you're this and you do this on social media and you're this, and I just I can't take him seriously because the way his actions in the past. So and if someone I respected came at me like that, I'd be really hurt, but you know, it's not a friend. So
how is it like, because obviously Made in Chelsea is essentially a job, how is it working with him, like being on, you know, maybe you're at the same filming day, like how is that now?
Oh, he tried to shake my hand yesterday, but I didn't shake it back.
Was that him trying to take the piss though?
Yes, probably. He's done it before, and he goes, woo! And so and puts his hand up. I just don't respect the guy. So I just don't care to make small talk. So many people, especially in the cast, will be fake to someone's face I mean, this is, and this isn't just cast, this is everyone. But, oh my God, Nicola. And like, and it's not, so I don't want to like badmouth the cast. This is just general life. So many people will be so worried about conflict and falling out with someone and being, and to be disagreeable. And so as a result, they'll be like, hi, good to see you, all fine. And then behind your back, they'll bitch about you. Yeah. I would prefer someone to know that I don't like them and don't want to spend time with them and keep my core really tight.
Yeah.
I'm okay not being liked.
Yeah, but that's the best way to be honest. I used to hate that, the fakeness. It killed me. So I don't know about you, Tiff. How did you find it?
I'm trying to think. Like, there was obviously people at filming that, like, I wouldn't have necessarily chosen to, like, spend my time with, but I was able to speak to them and be pleasant to them. But like, there were, and then there was other people who I did not get on with, who I would just completely ignore, and they would ignore me.
I remember you just kept yourself to your mates, actually, Tiff. Yeah. my memory of you with these event days is that you'd just be like, you'd be with Liv, you'd be with Ruby.
Exactly, stick with the girls that I got on with, and then kind of, yeah, you don't have to get on with everyone, and you just don't speak to someone that you don't get on with.
Exactly. It also would hurt so much more if you were fake to each other's face and then they backstabbed you. I think you're better off. You know what I mean? If you have a fake relationship and then they, I don't know, I think that would cut more, just ignoring
each other. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's so many people on the show who've been nice to my face and then bitched about me behind my back, so many, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Obviously, because the series has been quite intense for you, and I know you felt like the most hated person probably on the series, but don't worry, you're not. How do you deal with trolls on social media?
I actually had a hard week. I reckon I've become pretty pro at it. Over the years, genuinely think I have become quite good at it, because once you've taken enough of a beating, you become a bit numb to it. I don't look at Twitter anymore, because it is just a place for hate. I believe that, like, more people actually hate on you than love you, so I don't even use my account anymore.
I don't use it either.
No.
Yeah, I found it hard. I found, because the reason why I found this, I don't mind if someone comes on and goes, oh, Julius is this cringy guy, or Julius was stupid there, but the way people judge me for this season wasn't the genuine truth that I thought happened. So the way I lived that summer and the way my experience with India actually happened, it's like my truth wasn't shown. So now people are judging.
That's the most frustrating thing.
Oh my God. So I'm there just like, you're judging me on, like, I wish you, if you heard my side. I went on TikTok and spoke openly. I was like, no one's going to record this. This is like, fine, I'll just tell everyone how I feel. I need to get it out. And even if it's just like me therapizing myself, just so I can speak out about it. The viewers went up and up and up. Loads of people were like sharing it because I was talking about it. And the amount of people were like, oh my God, I wish I knew this. Oh my God, I wish I knew this. Oh my God, I wish I knew this. And I actually felt like a release. But I'm getting better all the time at it. I think there's always some comments that kind of do, like, you know, most of them ricochet, but sometimes they do go in a little bit further.
Naturally they niggle, of course they do. It's quite amazing though that we have, and you especially have, this platform to be able to get that release, like to be able to actually connect to people and say your piece, in a sense. You're lucky you do.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's getting to the point where you don't care about what other, you know, someone could say something to you and it just doesn't even, and that's a very hard place to be, I reckon, to like not let anyone's negative words affect you, people you don't know.
I think it's unhealthy. I think once you've taken so many hits, it's like in the conflict, for example, when it comes to getting in, being in an argument, and say it comes, happens to be filmed, right? I feel like I'm on a lie-lo. I'm so calm. It doesn't even affect me. Before, I'd be shaking. I remember once I had with you and Sam, Tiff.
Oh God.
I remember when I had to chat to Sam and chat to you, and you both going at me because of something years ago.
Yeah.
And you had Sam's back or something, and I would shake, and it would affect me for days, and I was really bad at it because I couldn't do it. But now I just, it's almost like I can either I'm good at compartmentalizing, or I've just become a bit numb to it, and I wonder if that's an unhealthy thing.
Do you think that's with people you know though, or is that with, because that's, you know, obviously when you had the argument with me and Sam, it was people you knew, who you hung out with, same circle, but say it was a random person on Instagram, would it affect you like that back in the day?
The first season, I think I just got better at it. What I really hate is when people compare. What I will say, there's something that I actually am trying to speak up more, because actually the one comment, other than you treat women like shit, because I hate for people to think that, because my respect for women is high, is when people would compare my actions to my coaching, because I take it so seriously. Like I train to be a coach. I work with 10 plus clients every week. I'm set up a business with my brother, which is called Safe Space. We're now working with groups. Like, it is something that I intend to do for the foreseeable. And there is a lot of cross wires. Mm. I get it. Yeah. Like I'm standing up for people. I'm getting in conflict and I'm talking to clients about having less conflict. And so that's something that I'm really trying to manage, and I don't think I've managed it well. So I'm working on that.
It is hard though, it's when really you're hard. On a show like yeah. that. Like you can't just sit exactly. there and not engage and not kind of cause a bit of conflict, because otherwise they won't use you, essentially. Like they probably love that you cause a little bit of conflict.
You've got to stick up for yourself.
Exactly, yeah. And but then it's interesting because like I've obviously met you a few times, and like when I meet you, you're just like the most loveliest, charming person. And then no offense whatsoever, when you see, especially obviously this series, it obviously didn't reflect you in the best light. And it's just so, they're so polar opposites. Like meeting you in real life off camera is so different to seeing you on camera, but yeah. obviously that goes down to the edit, and everyone makes mistakes in life.
And also, yeah, only seeing a glimpse of a big picture.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard for the life coaching situation, because obviously, especially, you know, Sam Prince has used that a lot on the show, like, you know, try to take the piss out of it a lot. And that's really hard, because obviously, as you said, that is something that you've trained in, something that you want to do for the future, like something that you take very seriously. So when you've got other people like taking the piss out of it, that I would find that really hard.
It's hard. Should it have been ever something I mentioned on the show? I question whether I should have done. I should have been maybe more aware that that would have been used against me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I genuinely, that is one of the things that keeps me up sometimes at night, being like, oh my God, because I don't want my reputation to be lost in terms of the way I work with clients on massively traumatic things. I've worked with clients for a year, I've worked with clients for 8 weeks, and from a 16-year-old girl to a you know 70-year-old man. I work with so many different types, from a CEO to a chef to a whatever. So it's like all my clients are incredible and they've had incredible journeys, and I genuinely believe in myself as a coach. So when someone jabs at that, I'm like, oh God, no, please don't, because I wish. But also the thing that people don't realize about coaching, which I won't go into too much detail, is that I'm not sitting on my high horse telling people what to do as a coach. That's not what coaching is. A lot of people don't realize what coaching is. The reason why I had to study so extensively is coaching is a lot about deep listening, asking the right questions, reflecting language, helping someone get to their goal, but help allowing them to see stuff in a different way so that they can get there. I'm not going, hey, by the way, you're acting like this, act like this now. That's not what it is.
No,
so people
exactly.
go, how could you coach after, you know, there are doctors, I'm not saying that, I get it wrong, but there are doctors that eat fast food every day, right? And there are vets who probably don't feed their dogs enough water. We make mistakes. I'm a coach and I make mistakes all the time. And I'm human. And I'm working on it. And so, yeah.
Do you think coaching is like a new thing? Do you think it's something that's kind of going to become bigger in England? Because I feel like it's quite a big thing maybe in America, and then maybe it's kind of a new thing here. Or do you think it's
like therapy in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
The obvious difference is therapy looks back. Therapy is mainly, I don't know if you guys have had therapy before. I've had a bit of therapy before. Therapy allows you to work out why you feel a certain way in the present, because and helps you connect what happened in the past and allows you to get there. Coaching, there's an element of therapizing, because you need to understand your conditioning, but it's also, okay, as a result of your past, what can we do about it now? So I've had a lot of clients come from therapy to coaching being like, I want to take action now. I want a goal set. To be honest, most of us know the answer, but we just don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
One of my analogies I use a lot of time is, if we were all stood in a room, so like we were stood in a bedroom, and sort of say Nicola and you and I were in Tiff's snug or living room, and it was really messy, and Tiff went, clear the mess. How would you clear the mess? Nicola would go, well, I do this, I probably move that away, I put that cushion there, and we clear the mess. But a lot of the time we don't ask ourselves that same question. How'd you clear the mess? What would you do? And instantly we would probably have an answer. I would improve my morning routine, or I'd make sure that I walk a little more, and because that's mindfulness for me. Or I'd do something creative, or I'd spend more time with my boyfriend, or I'd, do you know what I mean? And a lot of the time we just don't do the obvious things right. So I guess as a coach, my job is to help people do the little things a bit better.
Yeah. It's about
giving life.
Yeah. I've actually had a life coach very, very briefly years ago. And it is amazing. Like they just give you like the right tools to like use, to like, just get you to a better place.
I have a coach.
Do you?
I have a coach, and I'm a coach. Because I realize how powerful it's been for clients, and also because I'm helping so many people, I end up putting myself second. So I've actively
Grace has actually said that. Cameron's sister, she's the same. She's a hypnotherapist, but she's like helped so many people. She's like, I actually need someone to help me because I feel like I've taken on a lot of people's stuff and I feel like I need to take, like, offload it onto someone else. So yeah, it's probably definitely a good thing, especially also doing Made in Chelsea and being a life coach. That's a lot all in one.
Yeah, how do you juggle it all with the filming schedule? Because I know they just literally call you not last minute, essentially. How does that work for you?
I've told them this morning I can't do this part of Sunday I can't do.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I've a couple of clients I work with. I've worked for a long time, so I can just be like, "How does tomorrow work?" When I know I'm not filming, it can be quite annoying. But interestingly, the reason why I've set up safe space with my brother Fabian is because I don't think I can work one on one with clients for too much longer before it does affect me.
Right. Okay.
I was super honest with myself, and Fabian said the same thing. Because there's so much therapizing, and you look back and you start to look at your own life and go, it's not that bad really, because you look at your work and people who've maybe been through more struggle, and so much energy is going out. You're focusing so much on other people that I don't want to be desensitized to the point where I actually become unhappy and don't. And I know that could be a thing. That happens a lot to therapists and coaches and counselors. So that's why I set up a group coaching company, because we're working with groups of 10 and we're not delving as deep, but then we can help more people as a result. We had our first group start last week.
Nice. So is it all online or is it face to face?
So yeah. So tell us a bit about Safe Space. So tell us,
I'm so excited about Safe Space, guys. So the reason why we started it, Safe Space, right? So we have a group of 10 people. The first group's all about bettering and optimizing your life. So we have different topics we talk with the group of 10 on top of, and so how many people feel demotivated on their own, in the journey of life, hard to take action, hard to get out of bed in the morning and do that thing that really wanted to do or achieve. So we wanted to put people in a group of 10 people where we can discuss topics that maybe they don't ever really discuss. So like the first one was on getting to know them, but also confidence. Then it might be action taking. So we meet once a week on a Zoom. They also join a WhatsApp group. So they have a mini community, and we send through the week to celebrate successes, talk, you know, maybe not suppress and actually offload if you're struggling with something, to be basically know that you've got a team of people there who you're on the journey with. We meet once a week, and that's their sort of little mini bubble to being better.
That's so nice.
And then once a month, we have a different speaker to come in to talk about a different topic. So I have a clinical physician friend of mine who's going to come in talking about optimizing your health. So we're trying to throw so much value, but also lessens the cost. It's about a third of the cost of a one-to-one client. Honestly, I'm in the WhatsApp group, and like one of the clients in the group said, "I'm really struggling today with this," and everyone got involved, being like, "Don't worry, it's okay. Like, you know, listen to this podcast." And they all got involved to help that one person.
That's so nice, because it is quite hard to open up to such a big group of people as well. Yeah. Like, I think that's something I would personally struggle with, like being in a group with so many people, being like, "I'm having a bad day." You know what I mean? It's amazing that they can open up to you and you can all help each other.
It's uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable. But the way we see it is that eventually we want to have over 100, 500 groups, but different types of groups. So maybe like a business group, like setting up a business group, meditation groups, understanding different topics. And then we have different mentors looking after different groups. And that's what
we're doing.
That
is lovely.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well done. So impressive that you started that.
See, this is the real Julius, guys. Not what you see on TV.
Praise the Lord.
That's amazing. We'll pop a link up as well to your how do people get in touch? Is it a website, app, or what is it?
Our website's done, but it's not out yet, because the reason why is we're trialing the first group. This is why it's super early.
Right, okay.
And we've already got the second group starting next month, but we wanted to see how the first group go. We want to basically prove that it's something that's going to be amazing. And so far it's good, but it's only been one session out of the first month. So
nice.
So what if some of our listeners if they listen to this, like, I need to join this, how would they do it?
I have an email for you.
Okay.
We will put that email in this description of the podcast. And anyone who's listening.
Perfect. Yeah.
Definitely.
Maybe we can get you guys on.
I was about to say, I would join if I didn't know you. If I'm to do counseling, I know it's not counseling, but like any form of opening up, I have to like have no connection to the person whatsoever, or anyone I don't want them to know me at all.
By the way, I I wasn't saying you should get on in a group, because I agree. I don't think I've had friends who said, can you coach me? And I'd say no, because there's an emotional tie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My view won't be objective. I get that. I was saying maybe we get you on as a speaker for one of the months. One of you, either
oh,
of you
cute.
Both.
That's so nice. Right. I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
Give it a go.
Nicola's life advice.
Guys,
no, I know. I'm like, what would I have to say? My life advice is not the one.
I know you're expensive, but fucking let me know.
No, I didn't mean like that. I mean, I probably give them bad advice. It's probably not the best idea to choose.
Yeah, we answer dilemmas on here, and we're always like, don't take our advice with a pinch of salt. Like, we're not experts, but...
Oh, can you give me a dilemma? Do you have any dilemmas?
Yeah,
we do. So one of our listeners has written in.
Hi, girls. Love the pod so much. Gets me through the week. I've recently discovered / had my eyes open to the fact that I'm in a very toxic, abusive, at times, friendship. What do you advise? How would you deal with this? Thanks. To you, Julius.
So, sorry, recently found out that she's in a toxic, she has a toxic friendship.
She's recently realised that she's in a very toxic, abusive at times, friendship. What does she mean abusive at times?
Like,
I'm guessing not physical.
Guessing emotional. There's so much of this that I'd like to understand what she means by abusive.
It's hard one when they don't give us that much details.
Sometimes we like read them and we're like, tell us more. We need to know the details.
So I've worked with a lot of clients on this actually. If you're aware that someone is actually emotionally abusing you, or it's a toxic friendship, is that person worthy of being a friend of yours? Now, I know it's a tricky question. That's why I want to know more answers. Is this person in your life for 10 years or 2 years or 2 months? And it's obviously I'm answering this question in a very obvious way. But do you just should someone like that be in your life? We are so impressionable. I'm a sponge to energy.
Oh,
anything
yeah,
that. However, this conversation would have gone, I would wear it like a coat. That's why I have to be so careful of the energy around me, and as 100%. A result of being quite cutthroat, and the reason why I wouldn't, you know, shake someone's hand if I don't like it, is I don't want to spend my time around people who don't lift me up. And so, what I would say to that person is the best thing to do is actually it's simple, like looking at it like a business. Really, it's like, if you're the business, is this person profiting your business? You know, is this person worthy of being in your life? Like, if quite a nice way of doing it is, if it was your friend or your sister or your brother going through the same toxic friendship or abusive friendship, what would you say to them?
Yeah, very, very true. Have you ever been in that situation where you've had a long-term friend and they've just turned sour and they've just not had your best interests, and they've just, or they've done something or betrayed you?
Yes.
Is this on the show? No.
No, but I pick them better now. I think again, how deep do you want to go? I got bullied a lot when I was a kid. So when I came to London, I was talking to mum about this. All I wanted to be was popular, because I didn't have that when I was at school. I didn't care about my career. All I cared about was just cultivating friendships. It sounds so lame when I talk about it like this, but it's all I wanted. And so I would just, and what happened, I became a promoter. I became a club promoter, and I worked at Mahiki in marketing, and eventually worked in nightlife. But what, because people need me, right? It's interesting that it was kind of probably a reflection of the person I wanted to become, was just, I was one of friends. And I would attract the wrong people. People who'd use me, people who'd sort of be so double-faced and two-faced. And it makes you feel like shit. It doesn't make you feel worthy. It makes you feel like you're being taken advantage of, your kind nature. I think we've all been through that, haven't we? Oh,
and
it
makes
sense. I was actually saying this to Lily the other day, you both know Lily, how like as I get older, my group is getting smaller, because I don't want to be around people that when I leave them, I feel really flat. And like you said, I can pick up on someone's energy. So if I spend time with someone and they've got bad energy or they're negative, when I leave, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so different. So yeah, I definitely think as you get older, it's like you really are conscious of who you surround yourself with.
Do you think you've become more aware now of how powerful energy is?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
I don't think I knew anything about it when I was like early 20s, not a clue.
No, yeah. I've definitely cut people out of my life. Not like savagely, but just people that just don't make me happy and make me feel bad about myself. I've had to just distance myself from them. And you just feel so much better, because as you said, if you don't want to be hanging out with people, then you leave and you know they're bitching about you behind your back.
Exactly.
Like, it's just no.
So I think that's what we'd say to this girl then. Say distance yourself, definitely. You don't want to be around that.
But Julius, a little bit more about you. I don't know anything about you, like prior to Made in Chelsea. So you spoke about Mahiki just there. Like you worked at... Did you get on to Made in Chelsea?
Was it Liv?
Oh, was it Liv?
Yeah, Liv. People always ask, how do you get on Made in Chelsea? The two biggest questions on the show are...
Is it scripted?
real, which I'm actually so bored of answering. Yes, it's real. And the second one is, how do you get on the show? I knew Ollie, Toff and Liv. And Liv put me forward for a season. I was like, absolutely not. And then the next season, I was like, do you know what? Why not? And I think my first ever season was with...
Your first ever scene was with me.
Yeah, sorry, scene, not season.
But
yeah.
Did you struggle with that, though? Because if you struggled with making friends or wanting friends, did you struggle with Made in Chelsea? Because that must have been quite a struggle, like not knowing what's real and what's not. Like, you were desperate to make friends. Maybe not at this stage, but that whole fake world. I feel like it may have been harder for you maybe than most if that was your background.
So it was about 4 years into me living in London. So I felt like I'd cultivated some good bonds, but then a few I've realised that are just in it for the short ride. I had a really bad time the first time I joined the show. I wasn't very popular. I kind of followed to the tune of what will get me most on camera, because I thought that's what you do. And so I ended up just like gunning for Binky, I remember. And then I didn't realize her stuff with JP, and I fell out with all the guys, and everyone thought I was this arsehole. And I was like, no, I promise I'm not. I promise. And I actually, do you know what? Doing the show made me feel like I was at school again. I felt lonely. I felt really lonely. And then I ended up leaving the show because of my girlfriend at the time. But I never thought I'd do it again, but when I actually truly found my happiness and they asked me again, I was like, do you know what? It was lockdown. I'd do anything to get out of living with my mum for another month. Not that she's amazing, but imagine, you know, 2 years of it.
It's hard.
Yeah. I think it's so good that you did come. It's actually similar to me. So obviously I left and had a 2 year break, and doing it the second time around was so different.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I think because I was also like on my own, not in a relationship on the show. So that was nice. So I could just think about myself and not think about someone else and their feelings and their opinions. But also I think I'd just grown up a bit maybe and had a bit of time away from it and then come back and a bit stronger maybe. But yeah, I think it was very different the second time around. I feel like it's the same for you. Like, I think the first time you really didn't like it, and then the second time you definitely know what you're doing a lot more and you're a lot stronger at it.
And it's just like, it's not forever. It's one of these things that I look back on and be like, that was a fun thing I did. I was like, wait, how crazy I did that.
Yeah.
But you don't know much about me. Nicola, I don't know much about you. So I feel like we need to catch up.
Oh, God, no. I was going to say, we're not going into my life story. That's for another episode.
I'll get my own podcast and then I'll interview you. How's that?
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. I'm surprised you don't have a podcast. I feel like you have a lot to say.
Yeah.
I was talking to Digby about this, thinking, should we do one together? But I feel like so many people have podcasts. Will people listen, I guess, is the natural thing.
I mean, that's everyone's fear. We have the same fear. Everyone does. But I mean, I think doing stuff like this, going on other people's podcasts and then promoting your own would be kind of a nice route into it. Or just getting...
You could do one like linked with your...
To do with coaching and helping. Yeah,
you could do one with that and then interview people. Do you listen to podcasts like Founder or CEO and things like that?
Yeah, I do listen to podcasts. I listen to like Guy Naz with his like How I Built This podcast, like businessy podcast.
Stephen Bartlett's one.
Stephen Bartlett, I listen to. I love Jordan Peterson. I have this podcast that I send loads of people if they're feeling like they're in a rut, and it's the most incredible morning motivation podcast. I might have to send it to you so you can add it to this description. And
also,
it will get
to
you.
Yes,
it will get you pumped for life. I've got two of them, so I'll send you
perfect.
One of them.
Yes, please. Okay, great.
Podcasts are great. I never thought I would listen to words and just walk.
No, I know.
Same. I love them. I'm like addicted to podcasts. I listen to The Diary of a CEO. Is that not Stephen Bartlett? Now, who is the guy?
Yeah,
that
that's
presents?
Stephen Bartlett.
Yeah. So the Rio Ferdinand one. And I just was like in awe of him. Like, I just loved him. I was like, he's so inspiring. Maybe you don't agree, Julius, but like I used to be a United fan years and years ago, and I was on the plane way back from Spain. And I was just like, oh my God, I love him. I'm upset. Like, he's just
I need to listen to that one.
So like, and I don't know. Yeah. You should guys to listen.
Okay,
I mean, I
question
love
do you just love it because he's a Man United player, is that why?
No, do you know what, no, as in like I do have a soft spot for Man United now. I do not follow them anymore, but like just years ago. But he honestly was just so inspiring. Like, he's like, I don't want to be known for just being a football player. He was like, I've so much more to give. He was like, I'll be basically kicking myself in my grave if that's all I've achieved in life. And like, he was one of the most successful players in the world. Like, he was amazing. I mean, I know
that's probably why,
now,
though, because he's got that mindset.
They've such a good mindset and like discipline, and just, I don't know, just what he was speaking about. I was like, you're so inspiring. Like, he was.
Just
maybe slightly United, but
but even this podcast, even the podcast you guys are putting out, they're all making you think in different ways because you're listening to different thoughts and different, like, you'll be helping people. Ultimately, you guys are putting a smile on people's face. How amazing is that?
Well, that's like,
the end. We love getting feedback.
Yeah. Tiff's really like, nice. I know.
We have some hate too on this podcast, yeah, but you can't please hate. Everyone. Like, whatever.
No, exactly. We're going to do a little quick fire with you, Julius, which will be fun. Obviously, you don't know what the questions are, which makes it more fun. Okay. Instagram or TikTok?
Instagram.
Last thing you Googled. Should you I can look at your phone for that. Yeah.
You have to actually check, yeah.
Oh yeah, Specsavers hearing test. Because I'm worried I'm going to get tinnitus.
Oh, why do you think that?
Because earlier I felt like I was underwater and I heard this pinging sound through my ear and I'm like, oh my god, I'm fucked. I've got tinnitus for the rest of my life. But it stopped, so I'm going to get a hearing test done. Apparently, you can get a free test, so you know, always up for a freebie.
I mean, we all are.
Yeah. Okay. Coffee date or dinner date?
Dinner date. I like a coffee date.
I'm surprised you said that. I would have thought you
same.
Would
say I was
saying,
I was going
to
say coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a romantic date, but the thing is, if you asked me four
you
months
know what?
Ago,
if I'd asked you that, like, yeah, exactly. If I asked you that 6 months ago, you would have said coffee.
I would have said no, boring. Don't. I want to go to bed early. But now I like someone. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to take her out for dinner again. So.
Cute. Very cute. Okay, next one. Last text you sent or WhatsApp you sent.
I said going on the podcast in two. Thank you.
Right, next question. Best piece of advice you would give someone? Or like favorite piece of advice?
So I have a tattoo on my inner arm, inner bicep, which is if not now, when? One of the things and it's like, I think it's an old Buddhist saying, if not now, when? It's basically like carpe diem. It's like seize the day. If not now, when? My dad would always say if I was unsure about something, how often are you unsure about something? And then you usually go, oh, you know, I won't do it because you find some irrational excuse and get a comfortable excuse and you don't do it. So I always try to remind myself, like, if not now, when will I do it? It's like a life's too short. It's a seize the day.
Yeah,
so like,
I like
if not
that.
Now, when?
Love that.
That's my one. If not now, when? Sorry, I won't sing.
Perfect teeth or perfect hair?
Tiffany, you're so pretty. My first ever event
date.
Such a throwback. Nicola, did you see this?
The thing is, all these stories you're mentioning from Angels, like I've watched them all, but I can't remember half of it. So what happened
to me?
I sang
no,
to
what? As in, like, were you trying to get with Tiff?
Yeah, I was.
Oh my god, I need to rewatch it. What series is this? I need to remember. I need to rewatch
it.
I knew you were loved up, but I heard you were in a bit of a pickle. So I was like, oh, you never know.
Sing
so
to her.
I was like, yeah. Oh, no, it was all I had, right? My chat was
but I love
bad,
that,
man.
Yeah.
It was so great.
See?
Take, you were just single, about to do it again, I saw.
Stop yourself.
Okay, next question. Perfect teeth or perfect hair?
If they don't have the perfect, say they don't have the perfect hair, do they have bad teeth? Like, is it the opposite of, oh, okay,
yeah.
I go perfect teeth.
Oh god, yeah,
definitely. So would I, yeah.
Put a hat on, love. Put a bonnet on your head.
Bad teeth is a real turn off.
Oh, the worst.
It
oh
is
my god.
Worst.
My mum nearly went on a date with someone who had no teeth. Anyway, we won't go there.
My mum did too.
Really?
And
then they
guy.
Took them out, or was it like full
no, he had like
gums?
Awful teeth, bad teeth, missing teeth.
Gummy McGee, we don't want him.
Right, next one. Favorite food?
I would go for, I love breakfast. I love avocado, sourdough, scrambled egg, rock it on the side with a bit of like a nice cherry tomato, you know, a little bit of like pesto bat, like dressing on the top. Oh.
You're so healthy. What the hell?
Okay, I like burgers.
I love going out for breakfast. Like, I think it's such a nice thing. Next one, celebrity crush.
Jennifer Aniston.
Is it?
I watch quite a lot of Friends when I'm just chilling and
yeah, she's so hot.
Back in the day, I mean, I still love her now, but oh my god, back in the day she was
we're not saying 50 year old Jen, we're saying like 25.
I was saying right 90s Jen, right? Okay,
I mean, I'm still you know, I think she's on my list, you know that list,
yeah.
I don't have a list, but if I had a list
no yeah she'd be on it. Right, next one. Morning sex or evening sex?
Evening sex.
Interesting.
Why are you more
every
morning
time.
Sex, Tiff?
No, but remember we spoke about a few episodes ago where like sometimes I go to bed, I'm so bloated, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, I get you.
What are you eating that you can't eat? What are you in the morning? I'm not, so let's go.
In the morning, I'm not.
I think it's less romantic. I feel like it's not all about romance, like having sex, but like, I also feel it's like more like, I like the lights. Okay, let's delve into sex for a sec, okay?
Okay.
There are different types of supposedly like having sex. I'm a sensory. I like putting like a bit of like dim lighting. I don't like spots, like turn these off. Dim lighting, music.
Agree.
Music and a setting. That's why I prefer evening.
Music.
Oh no, I've got a couple of playlists.
Do you?
So when you want to have sex, you like pop it on.
Depending on the BPM, you know, depending on how speedy it's going to be, I put a different beat on.
That is hilarious.
Wait, no,
I'm not surprised. No, you're not.
No,
be
I don't
honest,
have a.
Genius.
I don't have like a. Okay, you know, yes. Okay, I do. I have a playlist. But also like I like. Do you not put music on?
No.
And you have.
I've done it before, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I do like music,
but I just am too. I'm too embarrassed to put music on myself.
Well, I'm not putting like Taylor Swift on.
No, obviously, but like even like just being like, I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah, like I don't know what I'd put on.
Oh, I'll send you a playlist.
Okay,
please do. Oh my god, please.
Or does
do.
That mean you'll just be like, oh, Judas?
No, because then
so.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah,
yeah,
I never thought about that actually.
Because I spoke to Cameron the other day, and Cameron said, "I really wish Tiff put more music on."
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the morning. Morning.
Yeah. Why is he playing music? Is that a sign?
I would really like to hear your playlist, though, just out of pure nosiness.
Yeah, same.
Are we gonna link it? Oh, let's not link it. Let's not. Link it.
That would be amazing, Julius. Please, can we link it? Make a Spotify playlist. Give the fans what they want.
Oh my god, no! Because people are just gonna pitch him. That's okay, actually.
Yeah,
I'm alright with that.
Yeah,
as long as it's good. As long as it's good picturing.
Our final question is biggest insecurity.
Do you mean like physical, or do you mean like
or me either?
Yeah. Not my biggest like my biggest fear is like not being good enough and feeling like doing. I'm so scared of not achieving. It's like I'm so scared, but I think it's such a common one. If we're going to go physical, I'm really worried that I'm receding, and I don't think I am because no man in my family is, but I went to my, but it's something I actually do
lift
worry about.
A lot of men do. Look at Tiff, lift it back, I'll tell you. I'll give you the.
I don't think you are.
I saw my hairdresser the other day and he was like, Julius, you need to stop wearing a hat because you're getting friction alopecia. So any guys listening to this, if you wear a hat, your hairline goes back. So,
do you wear a hat a lot?
I do. Where like in the winter, I can't be asked to like, you know, it has a lot of puffing up I got to do for this.
Yeah.
You know.
Actually, so on that note, before we do wrap this up, because Julia, we've taken way too much of your time. How do you blow dry your hair? Do you use a blow dry brush or a brush and a hair dryer?
It's got my name on it.
You
no
should.
It's got my name on it.
Oh, I know that. It's InStyler. Is that InStyler? Is that what it's called?
No, it's called Lene Blow.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I meant. I know that. It's an Irish brand.
Is it? But
I tried
the girl I'm seeing's GHD the other day. Mind-blowingly good. I can't believe I'm talking about hairdress. I'm talking about, what are we calling these again? Blow drying. I can't believe it. I didn't expect to come on here talking about blow dryers. I use hair dust. There you go. Actually, a lot of women use it as well.
Dry shampoo, do you mean?
It sticks your hair in place.
I'd no point getting it. It's like a little thing and it sprays out this dust and it just holds the hair.
Yeah.
God.
I love it.
Also, I'm really getting into cleansing. I don't know if you... I thought you'd say maybe, you know, you're glowing today, Julius, but you didn't. but I think I spent like 25 years just not glowing and then suddenly I discovered cleansing. And then I'm cleansing
so
in the evenings.
Funny.
A really nice... it's like the green one. It's the one that you get in like a pharmacy, like a really clean
element. Oh, is it a white bottle with green on it?
Simple, so simple. No, come on, a bit higher end than that. no, and it's got a blue one as well for moisturizing cream. And I honestly, I'm lathering and I feel
you can link that as well.
Yeah, I do. It's not Elemis, is it?
No.
I don't think it is.
So I should basically PR them, but I should remember their name.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every man should do this. I feel like men are just embarrassed to like take care of their skin. And it's like, no,
agreed.
Like take care of your skin, 100%.
Guys are lazy. And I think the older they get, they actually get lazier because they spend more time not doing things. I'm always trying to be better, do things better. It's like, why not try an anti-age and like biohack? I think they call it biohacking, where like try and like stop yourself from aging. Like, why not try and do a bit of that?
Definitely.
Oh, question. Do you think guys should Botox?
No.
I don't like when a guy, I don't.
Nicola does.
I don't like when a face doesn't move. Like we've spoken about this in the podcast. I've dabbled in it myself, but like, and as much as I'm hating my wrinkles right now, I think if I'm to recommend anything for a guy, I'd probably do Profilo over Botox, because men look nice with wrinkles. Yeah, like men look lovely with like age, I think, personally.
They do.
So I don't think so. I don't think they should.
They do that. Yeah, men look good.
Bastards.
Bastards. But also, too much Botox, if women take too much, or men.
Yeah.
So there's such a fine balance.
Have you guys watched the OC Selling Sunsets, but the OC
I've started it. Yeah.
Gyro, whatever his name is, his mum. Have you seen her Botox?
Oh yeah, her face. It's filler, Botox. The face just does not move, and it's not a good look. But yeah, no, for men, no. I don't think so. I don't think Botox. So if you're thinking about it, or if you have it, it's okay, Julius. But I just, no, I like it. Rough and rugged.
Rough and rugged, yeah.
That sounded so sexual. Okay, we need to wrap it up.
Right. Thank you so much, Julius, for coming on. It's been so
nice. Yeah, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Guys, I hope you enjoyed. And we might ask for everyone's feedback afterwards. I hope people have seen you in a different light now, Julius, because I think you've handled yourself very well in this episode.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Bye, guys. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.